Anybody glad they came to church today? Anybody glad they came to be church today? Wow. Guests, I want to welcome you again. We're glad that you're here. And you've probably picked up that we're kind of just straightforward and believe that God can do great things in you and through you. There's something I think is very important that you need to grasp hold of today. And that is that God has made you. God has redeemed you in Jesus Christ, and God wants to empower you in the Holy Spirit. And so I want us to pray because we're going to get a rhythm today, okay? See if you can do this. If you don't mind participating, kind of get a, come on, see if you can do that. Get a little rhythm. Because we're probably going to have to change our rhythm. Because I bet a whole lot of you have thought like this for a long time just because it's real human to think like this. If I fix things on the outside, then the inside's going to be all right. How many of y'all have ever thought like that before? You know, if I just get a new hairdo, it'll fix. Or if I go to the tanning bed, then I'll be better after that. Or if I get a new, it won't work with it. Or if I get a new car, then what? Life will be good. Or if I move to a new house, I'll finally have a good marriage. How many of y'all have tried that and all you did is buy houses? Inside of you is the reality of God. And God wants to start a work inside of you that will come out of you and bless the world. So God starts inside of us. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, what is inside of you is the possibility of God. That's what's inside of you if you've claimed belief in Jesus Christ. God is here and God is staying. For some reason this year, I have been very interested in the political race, and I've been watching it, and I just think it's intriguing. And what I think is so funny is to watch all the political Christians. They have been great entertainment for me, as they have been over the past 25 years. And I notice now that if they don't get the candidate they want, they're all going to take their ball and go home. Boy, there's a powerful witness. You know what? I think we need to be responsible, but I got good news. It doesn't matter who gets elected, God's still the same. And my faith has never been in the President of the United States of America. If it had been, I'd have had a painful situation the last 8 years. My faith is in Jesus Christ, crucified and resurrected. My faith is in the human possibility that God can do something great in your life. And I really do believe, like no other time, or no other time in human history, we need to be the church. And here's what the church is. It's a group of believers in Jesus Christ who have come together to not doubt what God can do. Who believe that God's reality is greater than the reality we see on the surface. Who believe that what's going on in the inside can absolutely, absolutely be greater than what we observe on the outside. And Jesus kind of had this move, if you will. So let's pray that we would look inside today. Amen. We'd look deep inside and let Jesus change us. Just look at your neighbor and just tell them you're glad that they're here and you're glad we showed up to worship together today. Because if y'all didn't do that, we'd have been missing people today, all right? Hey, I'm glad you all showed up. I'm really glad a lot of you come back, even though I'm your pastor. I want you all to know I'm excited about that. I'm excited that we get to be a part of a church where five people confess their faith in baptism. We've seen eight people baptized today, and I think go ahead. You need to thank God for that. And you know what? I'm glad in one sense at Hillview you've become very used to that. That's normal. It should be in the kingdom of God. But I want you to know that I'm very grateful for what God is doing in the life of this church. That people can come here and get saved and they can get changed. Because I'm going to tell you the reality. In the average Southern Baptist church, they see seven people baptized a year. You saw eight today. 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 And thank you, Jesus. And I'm grateful that God wants to reach people. And I want you to know that coming to know Jesus Christ is ultimately important in this church. And people say, what about discipleship? Ain't no use for me to disciple you to hell. You know, You got to step before you can walk, and you got to walk before you can run, and you got to be saved before you can connect to God. You see, but you and I got this habit. We want to arrange the outside before we want to let God deal with the inside. I promise you that is an American hazard. Because in America, we believe if it's pretty on the outside, it must be what? Pretty on the inside. How many of y'all have ever bought a car that had a nice paint job and a lousy transmission? What did you find out was more important? Transmission. Then you just had a pretty car sitting still. Did you see what I'm saying? Well, let's pray that we really hear what God says today. Amen. Coach, good to see you today, man. Glad you're here. We coached football together and he still came today. That's how powerful God is. You ready? Let's pray. Lord, you're real. God, you're honest. Lord, you're so honest, you scare us because we haven't been that honest. And Lord, I just pray today that the reality of who you are, Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, merciful forgiver, that as we read what you do, that we would realize who you are. And God, I pray that we would actually follow you. Not what we think about you, not what other people have written about you, but really you. Get us down to who you are, Jesus. Amen? Amen. How many of y'all excited that God's doing something great in your life? I mean, you got that possibility. I mean, I want you to see this possibility here today. Well, man, we got to pick up with Jesus. Jesus is going to go inside where they supposedly housed God, or where they believe they housed God. It's interesting. Jesus is going to the temple. Now you got to understand, this is ironic. We got God going to his own house. And the house is run by the religious professionals. The temple. You got the high priest, and they got their robes on, and they got their packing their ephods on. You know, it's like super big bling bling in the name of Jesus, all right? And they got all this regalia on, and you got the professional religious people. These are seminary sanctified boys. You know, they got all these professions. We hope as a pastoral staff, and we find out most of the time when you all meet us, professional is the last identification you have with us. I really don't believe that God called pastors to be professionals. True. I think he called us to be ministers. Amen. You know, to teach, to love, to encourage, to coach, to get everybody involved in what God really wanted them to do. I think lawyers are professionals. I think ministers ought to be called. It's interesting for me. It's always been interesting. Well, here, let me read you. Jesus is on his way to temple. Who does Jesus take with him? Jesus takes his mama. Pretty cool. Jesus and his mama. Jesus is kind of a mama's boy. I mean, you don't hear much about Joe hanging out. You know what I mean? When Jesus is rolling around, it's always, Mary's coming to get you, your mom and your brother. Where is Joseph? You know, it's like Joseph, you know, they're heading off to temple and Joseph's sitting around watching U of L beat Georgetown. You know, I mean, it's really interesting that not much has changed here. And so look at here. Now, Jesus has turned the water into wine at the wedding. Y'all remember that story? You know, his mama said, Jesus, we out of wine in this situation. Now, that I'll tell you right there. Y'all know Jesus is not a Baptist. Because a Baptist would never make wine in public. All Baptist wine is in the basement, amen? Y'all know where your grandparents kept it. And they'd pull it out and say, I'm sick. This is for medicinal purposes only. But I'm going to tell you what, there were a lot of sick Baptists in my life. They'd all have a cough. Go get the cough medicine. Finally, I realized, the cough medicine is Jack Daniels. We had an uncle, he coughed all the time. Anyway, Jesus had turned the water into wine. Y'all are loosening up. We got a real Jesus. Watch it. You know, I've always wondered, what if Jesus went to like a Baptist church, went to the fellowship hall, and just kind of went over and touched their water fountain, and they had a wine fountain. Can you imagine the chaos that would cause? Well, now here Jesus is going to the temple. God going to the house of God. God in flesh going to the house of God. Now, who's he have with him? After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his disciples. So Jesus got his mother, his brothers, and disciples. And they're hanging out. And then he said they stayed for a few days. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, it's interesting. Jesus is going up to Jerusalem. How many of you all feel like sometimes when you get around religious systems, somehow or another, they're a little higher than you are? Or they think they are. Exactly right, Cheryl. They think they are. How many of y'all have noticed? Because I really want you to notice when you're around religious people. Religious people will always make you feel less than. Because I want you to learn how to discern the spirits. Because I have a lot of folks come up to me and say, well, so-and-so told me this. I said, well, Lord, have mercy. They've been divorced 12 times. What do they know about marriage? And they said, well, God told them about it. I said, God didn't tell them about that, or they'd have listened 12 times ago. You know, guess what? Just because you follow Jesus doesn't mean you're supposed to become an idiot. In other words, here's the weird thing about being human. God created human beings with brains. And here's the way they gave them brains, so they could discern what was really of God and what's not of God. Now, Jesus is fixing to do some discerning on some boys. Because guess what they're doing? Polluting God's temple. Polluting God's temple. Now, you need to listen to God. When you get around Jesus, guess what? You'll always have a spirit of possibility. The Holy Spirit always tells you, yes, this was wrong, but now here's how we have a solution, and here's how we get better. There'll always be a spirit of getting better. Religion always gives a spirit of, you're out, I'm in. How many of y'all have noticed that? So Jesus is going to the temple. It's where they made the sacrifices. And I'm going to give you a theological word. You ready? Ticked off. Y'all got that theological word? Ticked off. Jesus gets ticked off. What does this do to your all's wax museum white Jesus? I remember when I was a kid, they took us to the wax museum and we saw Jesus there. He was a very gross Jesus at the wax museum. It was 125, 130 pound white Jesus. It was the first white Jew I'd ever seen in my life. And he had these little hands that looked like girl hands. And they were up on the Lord's Supper table, and he kind of had these little eyes, and he looked like if he'd spoke to you, you'd have been like, hi, how are you? I'm Jesus. And I'm going, you ain't no Jesus. You don't look like you worked with your daddy in construction. Jesus was not a white boy. How many of y'all have ever seen Jewish people? They are not Caucasian, man. They got dark hair and dark skin. Because let me tell you what, if you're going to walk in the desert and you're going to be white, Jesus wouldn't have had to have been crucified because he'd have burned up before he's 33 years old. Okay, there's some logic to what God does. Amen. God's got some real purposes in what God does. And so Jesus Christ, there he is, heading into the temple. And guess what? I'm going to blow you all away. Jesus will get ticked off. And here's when he gets mad. When other people exploit other people in his name. Now I'm going to tell you something we're going to have to reckon with in this nation. Jesus is not pleased with America because we exploit people for our personal gain. We exploit systems that are set up to help other people, and we exploit them to our personal gain. Jesus is not real happy when we exploit to hurt others. Is everybody kind of clear on that? Now listen, I got a heart for the poor. Guess why I got a heart for the poor? Absolutely. I have a heart for the poor. That's probably not a natural heart for me. If it's left up for me, I'd go, well, come on, let's pull up your bootstraps and let's go on. That'd be Steve Ayers. Guess what Jesus said? Ayers, why are their bootstraps broken? Oh, Lord. He said, I got to fix her bootstraps, then we can go on. I have mercy. I have love. I have a heart. I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ, that's what He says. I have mercy. I have love. I have a heart. How many of you are glad to know that you follow a Jesus that ultimately wants you to get better? And I'm going to tell you what, you better be excited about living in America. You know why I'm excited about living in America? It's the only place I know where a nobody can become a somebody. It's the only place in the world I know where a nobody can become a somebody. I look at those presidential candidates. Huckabee, he is a country boy from Arkansas. Obama, raised by a single white woman in the 60s. But as a candidate for the presidency of the United States, no other country but this country is a country where you can be a nobody that can become a somebody. Now hold on. That started because there were some people who understood Jesus doesn't exploit people. Now I got to tell you that so you know why Jesus gets ticked off. He walks into his house and guess what they're doing? Do what? Or Tyler told me. What are they doing, Tyler? They're changing out money and guess what they're doing, Tyler? They're monkeying with the exchange. Now, y'all have never been through an exploiting situation, have you? One time I went to a kingdom in Florida. I don't know if you've ever been to this kingdom. And in the kingdom, there's a Savior, and it has great big ears. This particular Savior's married. Has a wife named Minnie. And it's amazing because before you enter the kingdom, Coca-Colas are a dollar in any convenience store surrounding the kingdom. Inside the kingdom, the same Coca-Cola cost you $5.96. Same Coke. Sprite, same price, Tyler. What do y'all think of that? What's it called? Is that Coke worth $5.96? Hold on, if you're thirsty enough. Still not worth it. That's when I go to Holiday World. No mouse. I don't like mice anyway. No mice in free Mountain Dew. My kind of place. Yeah. What's this? Here's what I'm saying. We all get exploited in some ways. That's just a little deal to set you up this because you know what? That's basically what was going on in God's house. And here's what happened. You came to temple to sacrifice. So here's what they did. They created this system. You didn't have to bring your sacrifice with you. You could buy it when you got there.
Sounds familiar.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Kind of sounds. Well, it's still doing it today. Elizabeth and I, a few years back, one time I wrote a book. I'll never do that again, but I did it once. And they invited me as a Christian author. See, I can't even say the word. As a Christian author, invited Elizabeth and I to come down to sign books and talk to other authors and all this kind of stuff at this big Christian convention thing. That's probably why I don't sell books. I walked in, it looked just like the outer temple courts. In fact, one of my publishers was there and they said, man, don't let Ayers go in the back here. He'll throw a holy fit. As soon as I heard him say that, I went in the back. I had never seen more junk sold in my life in the name of Jesus. Just junk. Junk you couldn't sell at a yard sale. People put a cross on it, $1.25. That's exploitation. I'll call it out. You know what Elizabeth and I saw in there? Fruitcake for Jesus. Now, everybody knows fruitcake is made in hell. That is not a heavenly... Let me ask you a question. How many of y'all have ever sliced a piece of fruitcake and said, oh, man, God bless you? Ever one of you ever seen fruitcake? You get one, you go, hell no. So you know that's where fruitcake comes from. Amen? They were selling a cake from hell wrapped up in a heavenly package. It had your gift from Jesus, Jesus fruitcake. Now, Jesus never made nobody no fruitcake. Jesus going to give you a cake. It's angel food. You know I ain't made no fruitcake. Amen? Husbands, don't ever buy your wife a fruitcake. She should think about divorce if you buy buying your fruitcake. How many of y'all ever had one of them aunts that sent you a fruitcake? That ought to tell you right there, she did not like you. And we're in this religious bookstore and they're selling holy fruitcake. I'm going, oh my God. Now, is this real? In fact, I can't, man, I tell you what, I go in these Christian bookstores, man, I have to leave. They get me that mad. Bracelets, you know, bulletproof Bible covers. And then I love this. People say, well, I wear these religious t-shirts so people will know I'm a Christian. I said, you ought to get saved. That'll even be better. You ought to actually be saved so that you'll live a life. Because, you know, see, I've read the Bible, the real one, not the bulletproof one, the, you know, one God wrote. And here's what he said. They will know us by our t-shirts. Oh, by our love. So here's what's really cool. I can save you a lot of money. You can wear just like a regular t-shirt and love people, and you'll be a better witness than a religious t-shirt with no love. Make sense? And the reason I'm telling you is because it's all in the text. When Jesus walks into the temple, man, he gets ticked. And I just got to tell you what happens. He looks and they're changing money. They're selling cows. Chase, they're selling cattle at an overinflated price. You know, like you could buy a cow maybe 20 cents on a pound outside the temple, inside the temple, 50 cents a pound. Now, who's making that money? I'm glad to know in religious circles today we don't have people exploiting the kingdom of God for money, aren't you? I'm glad I don't ever have to watch any sermons on TV with somebody's book advertisement at the bottom of their screen while they're preaching their sermon. I'm glad I don't have to see stuff like that in America. Hint, hint. Now, I'm just going to show you what Jesus did. When I find my Bible, I'm going to show you what he did. I got mine marked. Thank you. Thank you. Jamie, you've been baptized and now you're a Bible holder all in one day. That's how fast it grows. Look at here. Look at here. Look at here. Here's what he said. When it was almost time, he went up into the, and he goes into the temple. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. This is not good. So he made a whip of cords, drove all of them from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned those tables. Now, I want you to know, Jesus did this calmly. No, he really did. I remember I preached this sermon one time. I was a kid preacher, and I was preaching to a youth group, and Rambo had just come out. I mean, like Rambo 1. You drew first blood, Rambo. I'm not talking Rambo 14 that's out now. I'm talking about Rambo 1. And so I had this Rambo image. And when I read this scripture text, man, I was preaching it to a youth conference. And I had Jesus strap, you know, two M16s on and come in and take out the temple. As I grew up, I realized this was not Jesus' mentality. This was my mentality. Because if you notice, he takes time to make the whip. His anger is never out of control. And, you know, he scatters the sheep. He gets them out of there. He doesn't suplex them. He gently scatters them out of the temple. And to overturn the table doesn't mean he has to take that and throw them over his head. In fact, the Greek word is to lay over, to dispense of. It has that kind of connotation. He turned it over. He stopped it because look what he says. Get out. Get out. Get these out of here. How dare you make my Father's house? How dare you turn it into a market? First thing I want you to know, when we gather together, the church is not a market. It's a place where people celebrate faith in God. Fellowship. Now watch this. When Jesus was coming into the temple, what was coming into the temple? So really, is everybody listening? Because you got to get this, a play on words. The temple was coming into a temple. Did you catch that? The temple was coming into a temple. I'm going to tell you how I know this. Because the next thing they ask, where do you get the authority to do such things as these? You know, the religious guys were kind of ticked off. Now, Jesus had closed up shop. He said, where do you get the authority to do these things? It's interesting to me that nobody talked back to Jesus. Isn't that interesting to you? When Jesus said, get these out of here, nobody said, I'm not going to do it. He spoke with an authority and they got out of there. And then the leaders said, then the Jews demanded of him, verse 18, what miraculous signs can you show us to prove your authority to do all this? Sign, sign, everywhere sign. How many people in the New Testament, what do they want? Sign. What did Jesus say about all the signs, people? He said, an adulterous generation seeks signs. Huh? Yo, say it one more time, John. It's good. He said, here's your sign. That's what Jesus said. He did it before Bill Ingram did it. He said, here's your sign. You tear down this temple, and I'll bring it back up in 3 days. There's your sign. What do y'all think about that? This messed with the religious professionals. How many of y'all glad to know that Jesus still messes with religious professionals today? Thank God. I'm glad that He does. Here's what I found about religious professionals. They're pretty limited, and God is unlimited. My preacher was always telling me what I couldn't do. Didn't y'all have a preacher like that? Lord have mercy, we couldn't dance, we couldn't this, we couldn't that. I mean, every sermon was, this is what you cannot do. I got around Jesus. He never talks like that. He always talks about what you can do. You know, you can love one another. You can have joy. You can have peace. You can get this possibility activated. He's a can-do kind of God. And this was really neat. He goes on and he says this to him. Now, the Jews replied, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days? And y'all thought our building program was slow. Said 46 years to build up this house. Jesus said, I'm going to raise it in 3 days. Now, he wasn't talking about that literal temple. He was talking about the temple. He said, God's dwelling in a new place, in the house. How many of y'all glad to know you are the temple of the Lord? Where does God live? Look at your neighbor and go, He's in you. Come on, tell him, He's in you. Come on, y'all work with one another. He's in you. Uh-oh. Elizabeth, He's in you. He's in me. Although sometimes you don't think He is. He's in me. I mean, that true? Ramon, guess what? He's in you. And guess what that does? Now you and I do not have... Listen, if you and I were to be prejudiced against each other, guess what we would do? Deny what is in us. Watch this. Ramon and I are close friends. I can use this. Ramon, you and I are of the same race. True or false? True. What race are we of? Jesus. We bleed the same blood. See, I want a new race to come forth. A new Israel. I'm tired of talking about black and white, green and yellow, purple. I don't know about y'all, but I'm wore out. I have found that there are great people no matter what their skin tone. And I have found that skin tone doesn't affect a lot of situations that people blame it on. Ain't the reason that happened. The reason it happened is you refused to listen to who? Jesus. Now here's what I found. When we refuse to listen to Jesus, no matter what our situation, we'll end up in a lousy place. And when we listen to Jesus, great things can happen no matter what our situation. Isn't that cool? How many of y'all glad to know that? That's that real! Now check this out. Jesus walks in, the money changers leave. He says, I'm going to tell you what. He said, hello. Jesus said what? He says, you tear down this temple, I'm going to build it back in 3 days. You tear me down, I'm coming back. How many of y'all glad to worship a God that cannot be killed? Now lock that in your brains and let it get into your hearts. I'm going to show you the last thing. Jesus gave him a sign. And the sign was his resurrection. Now the temple lives in the people. Inside. 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 There's the rhythm of the church. Now, in closing, I'm going to show you who Jesus wouldn't trust. Moroni, I'm not going to entrust myself to you. You going to entrust yourself to me? I wouldn't. If I was you, I wouldn't do it. Frank, you going to entrust yourself to me? Good. Thank you. That's quick. Chad, I'm not going to entrust myself to you. You going to entrust yourself to me? Good. You're a smart man. You know me. I'm going to show you what Alan, it's interesting what Jesus said, isn't it? Really breaks at all of our humanistic attempts to save ourselves. Some people say, if I just go to the group, I'll be all right. That group can't save you. You just get a group rate on going to hell. Still same bad location. Watch. Look at here. Jesus, after he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. How many of y'all know Jesus does miraculous things? Every day. Somebody tell me something miraculous Jesus did this week. Anybody got a miraculous story this week? Yes, ma'am.
He healed the blind.
You saw him heal a blind person this week? He does it. Did you see that this week or was that something? Oh, it was on a movie. All right. That still could have happened. Watch this. I guarantee you a blind person got healed somewhere in the world this week. Guarantee you. Tell me a miracle. Hold on. Y'all got to speak up a little bit if we're going to talk. A baby that survived the tornado. Amen.
Amen.
How many, watch this. How many of y'all going to believe me from now on when I tell you, you better square up and get this Jesus thing right? We had people Sunday here from Allen County, and they came to church just like they do every Sunday, and we heard the Word of God, and we had a great time in praise and worship, and everybody walked out of here, and they just knew we were going to be back next week, and everything was going to be all right. Some people died in a tornado on Tuesday night. I wonder what they were doing at church on Sunday morning. I wonder if they were just going through the same old routine that they'd always gone through. Because we're good Americans down south and we all go to church. And we go to church and hear about the possibilities of Jesus. But we never really apply them to our lives because we're going to do that one day someday. But then on a Tuesday night in the middle of February, some big tornado sucks the life out of us, literally. That's reality. I wonder what everybody was doing at church on Sunday. Or I wonder if some of them had time for church. You know what I mean? It's just not important. You got things to do. You know, we're in college now. We've got to get that part of our life done and then bring God in later. Inside out. Young people, I'm telling you right now, you get God lined up first and everything else will line out. He really will. But you got to line Him up first. Adults, you better stay in line with Him. Watch this. You can't tell your kids that Jesus Christ is important to you when you show up to church once every 6 months. Because kids are pretty smart. And they go, you're full of it, Mom and Dad. It's not important to you. It's only convenient to you. You know what Jesus did? He took a convenient faith away and gave us one that works. Let me close. Entrust yourself to God. Don't entrust yourself to a religious system or to mankind. Jesus didn't. Look what he said. This is so hilarious. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in man. Just want to leave on this. Don't freak out when humans disappoint you. How many of y'all have had a human disappoint you so far on the journey? Hello! Hey, let's get to the truth. How many of y'all know another human being is probably going to disappoint you? Watch this. I'll be straight with me. Don't follow me. I will disappoint you. I'll disappoint you as a pastor. Here's where we're different in Hillview. Every pastor will disappoint you. And I know how the game works between church and pastors. We're all good as long as we're saying what? Yes to what you want. I've been at this a long time now, 26 years, and it's so funny. I'm in the will of God as long as I'm saying yes. And as soon as I say no, I've lost my anointing, my insight, and my vision from God. Amen. See, if I say yes, we can pay it, then I'm of God. And when I say no, we can't pay it, I've lost my religion. Now, really be honest. Is that God or is that flesh? You know what I love about this text? Here's what Jesus is saying. I know the difference between your religious antics and the genuine article. Amen. And I want you to live in the genuine reality of Christ. Because there is life. Amen. And I'm not going to entrust you to mankind. I'm going to entrust you to Godkind. That's where Jesus lived. Amen? All right, three things today. How many of y'all got anything you need to get out of the house? Y'all got some stuff that Jesus needs to lean in there and go, get out of here. This is one thing I think a lot of people have. How many of y'all just feel like you're a bum sometimes and not worthy of the breath you take? Now, where does that thought come from? It comes from hell. You've been made by God, redeemed by God, and blessed by God. You know what? You need to get that thought out of here. You need, in the name of Jesus, you need to say, Jesus, speak to that thought I have in my life that makes me feel like I'm unworthy, and tell it to leave in the name of Jesus. Leave. Every one of you are precious. Number two, everybody in here can be redeemed. How many of y'all are glad of that? Everybody in here can be forgiven. I don't care where you've been, man, you can be forgiven. And I hope you will be. And number three is this, everybody in here can be empowered and has got something important to do. Isn't that neat? What do you think? Am I telling you the truth or am I just telling you preacher stuff? Which one is it? Okay, y'all been a joy today. Hillview, as you've noticed, people are starting to come. People are getting saved. God's on the move with it now. I want y'all to get involved with it. Amen. Don't just sit here and listen. This is the huddle. The blessings outside these doors. Just go be genuine, amen? Go be real. Go be real. Go be what? There you go. Can God raise you up? Amen. All right. Well, let's stand up. We're going to open this altar up. Wow. Eric, no telling what's going to happen right now. No telling. How many of y'all ready to have a no telling altar? No telling. No telling what's going to go on. No telling. Now, stay with me now. Everybody focus in. Kind of shake it up. If you're hungry, ask God to hold that back for just a minute. Here's what you ought to be hungry for. To know Jesus. And to know that He loves you. To know that He's never going to let go of you. It's a real deal. Anybody in here sin? Okay, good. Jesus would like to forgive you. If you've never asked Him into your life, we want to open up an opportunity for you to say this right now. Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. If you've never been baptized, we want you to be obedient like these beautiful people. Jamie, do you regret being baptized? I'm just telling you the facts. I've never had anybody get baptized that went like this. Man, I wish I'd never done that. I've had a few get married that they backed up on it. But now, I've never had anybody get baptized that regretted it. Never. I mean, y'all realize Jesus loves you. I just want you to know Jesus loves you. And right now, He'd love for you to be saved. Why don't you ask Him, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Maybe you need to come right to this altar today and say, God, I know I got some things you need to get out of my temple. Tell them to leave. Tell them to leave. And God, I've been trusting people to come through for me. I need to trust you to come out of me because you're the one that loves me the most. We're just going to open this altar to ministry, okay? Y'all all focused in? Jesus is going to do a great thing. How many of y'all realize some people are going to be saved right now? Isn't that cool? And we get to witness that miracle. Men, you saw some real men today get baptized. If you've been putting that off because you say, man, I don't know about that, man. I'm 33 years old, man, and I'm a man. I'm asking you to be baptized, not crucified. I mean, I want you to really think about this. That's a real man. You had a real man go die for you. He wasn't embarrassed to shed his blood for you. Don't be embarrassed to stand up and say, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ in that baptistry. That's the real deal. So come on, guys, gals, lovers of Jesus Christ. Let's let Him loose today at the altar. Amen. Just pray with me, Lord. I pray today that we don't walk out of here unless we do some real business with Jesus. Right now, there's some people that need to get some things out of their life. Jesus, You speak them out of our lives. You speak them out of us, Jesus, just like You did the money changers. Be gone. In the name of Jesus, be gone. Be gone. And Lord, I pray right now for just a spirit of love in this house that is just beyond our comprehension. Jesus, just like You went up to temple, we ask that Your Spirit would come down into us and be released from us. And so God, right now at this altar, whoever needs to be healed, whoever needs to be baptized, but we pray right now that the devil and his demons have no right to any mind in this place. We're just going to listen to You, Jesus. We're going to listen to You. And when You bring us forward, we come. And if You ask us to get baptized, we will. And we're just going to do what You want us to do. Hey, church, there's freedom in the house. Jesus loves you from the inside out. So let Him in. It's open. Come on. Come on, church. Let's pray together, love together, decide together, give together. Don't stand there today. Say, God, I want You to do something great in my life today, God. I want You to do something great in my life, greater than I've ever seen. Just let God have that right now. Let Him have that right now. Come on, church. Oh, Lord Jesus, as You're bringing people, bring those who need to know You. Bring those who need to be baptized. Bring those who need to be healed. Bring those who need to be reassured. Bring those who need to be touched by You in awesome and real ways. Bring them right now, Lord. Come on, if you're standing there and God's talking to you right now, come on forward. Let God do something amazing. Come on, God, don't let us stand still today. Let us have church like we've never had church. Jesus, we don't want the old days of Hillview. We want Your new day in Hillview, Lord. Come on, Lord, move. Father, for those that have never come, let them come. For those that have not been baptized, let them be baptized. Oh, altar, as you all pray, just may the Spirit touch you right now. May the Spirit touch you. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them.